Shalom, brethren, beloved brethren, and church family. What a joy it is one last time to look at Isaiah 53 with you on this Tuesday morning, wrapping up our Easter Passion Week study in Isaiah's four servant songs and our climax on Sunday morning, evening, looking verse by verse through Isaiah 53. And the question now, what does it mean for the Jews? As I said, I would unpack for you a bit further, a very crucial one. Even in the present, as we know, this has been probably the most powerful text in all of the Bible to lead to the conversion of Jews. Here's one testimony. You may know the name Rich Gans in his excellent book entitled Psychobabble. He's been a real leader of the biblical counseling movement. And he testifies of how he and his wife were on a holiday in Europe, and they went and visited Francis Schaeffer's ministry in Le Brie. And a friend there started reading to him Isaiah 53. And as he worked through the chapter slowly, Gans's questions in his head began mounting, and he had his full arsenal ready to fire back at this guy. Gans was an accomplished New York psychotherapist at the time. And he says this, after the friend read, he looked at me and said, "What do you think, Rich?" And without a moment's hesitation, I said, "Sure, anyone who was there at the cross could have written that stuff. What does that prove?" And then his friend handed Rich the Bible. And Gans says, "In that millisecond, my life was shattered. The name I saw at the top of the page was Isaiah. My friend Hans had been reading to me from my Bible, Hebrew scripture, something the prophet Isaiah wrote 700 years before it happened." Rich Gans says, "I felt as though someone had taken a sword and cut me to pieces. The power of the double-edged sword of truth in God's word, living and active." If you want to study Isaiah 53 further from a Jewish Christian Bible teacher and scholar, go online and search his name, David Baron, B-A-R-O-N, Isaiah 53. PDF, Isaiah 53, PDF, and the words David Baron. His work is put out by the Fig Tree Institute, and it's called The Servant of Jehovah. Powerful testimony of a converted Jew who was one of the founders of the Hebrew Christian Witness to Israel. He was based out of London. Wonderful resource if you want to study further. Another famous Jewish Christian convert and Bible scholar was the famed Old Testament commentator, Franz Delitzsch. He says this, "In how many an Israelite has Isaiah 53 melted the crust of his heart? It looks as if it had been written beneath the cross upon Golgotha." Isaiah 53 is the most central, the deepest, and the loftiest thing that the Old Testament prophecy, outstripping itself, has ever achieved. But friends, here's what I want to focus on for a moment. What is often missed and easily overlooked by Christian preachers and Bible teachers in our zeal to apply this to our Gentile audiences today, we can hurry past the original audience. As Paul says in his epistles, the Bible was written for us, but it wasn't written to us originally. Isaiah's original intention was for a Jewish audience. Romans 11 warns us in our Gentile pride not to forget that we've been grafted into a Jewish tree, and a Jewish root is what supports and nourishes us. Sure, Isaiah has much to say to the Gentile nations. We saw that in Isaiah 49 and 53, and all over Isaiah and the Old Testament. The Jews were called to be a blessing to the nations. But I want us to think for a moment what the role Isaiah 53, the role it would play in the and will play in the future when all Israel is saved, as the Apostle Paul promises in Romans 11. If we're going to take Isaiah 53 literally, in terms of how it was fulfilled in Jesus in his first coming, his appearance was marred, he was despised, forsaken, pierced, crushed, scourged, and so forth, literally fulfilled at Calvary, then to be consistent, we ought to take it literal when God speaks of restoring and saving Israel, my people, Zion, Judah, Jacob, as is often stated here throughout this section. God is making promises throughout Isaiah and elsewhere in the prophets that stretch far beyond what was fulfilled by King Cyrus bringing Israel back from exile in the 6th century BC after 7 years captivity. Isaiah 52, he says, "Clothe yourself in strength, O Zion. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the holy city." Isaiah 54, right after chapter 53, uses similar language here in Isaiah 54 from verse 11. He speaks again, "O afflicted one," and he addresses the nation of Israel and God's plan for them, particularly for the Jewish people throughout this section, time after time. As Paul in Romans 9 through 11 speaks about God's future plan for Israel, 11 times he uses the word Israel. 73 times the word Israel is used in the New Testament. And I believe every single case can most naturally and best interpreted refer to ethnic national Israel, the Jewish people. And so in Romans 11, 25, Paul concludes, "And so all Israel will be saved." Some kind of end times revival among the Jewish people, saved through the same gospel by which you and me have been converted. Not every Jew, but the nation as a whole, in the end, as we know from the book of Revelation, a seven-year fiery furnace, great tribulation, through that painful refining, God will at last open the eyes of the Jews to what Isaiah 53 is truly all about. Like Zechariah tells us, Zechariah 12, "On that day they will look on him whom they have pierced and will mourn for him as for an only son." What a day that will be, finally. At last, the Jewish people, realizing what they've denied for so many centuries. Zechariah 13 goes on to show that two-thirds of the nation will perish under God's judgment, but a third will be left, refined through tribulation, converted, and turning to their Messiah. If that happens in our lifetime, friends, that would be a third of Israel, be about 5 million Jews today out of the 15 million worldwide. Talk about a God-sent revival, the power of the gospel, the sovereign saving grace of God in Christ. At last, synagogues will allow Isaiah 53 to be read, or they'll be in churches by then, and they'll hear it there. Imagine if you had Jewish ears and you were hearing Isaiah 53 for the first time now as a believer in Messiah Jesus, Mashiach himself. Some interpreters say this is why all the verbs, you may have wondered, in Isaiah 53 are in the past tense mostly, even though it was 700 years before it happened, because it seems it was written from the future perspective of the restored Jews. It's as good as done. The hope is sure. Our confidence is certain because of the word of God. And it's as if they are already restored to their Messiah after the cross, after the resurrection, after Jesus' ascension, when all Israel is saved in the last days, and they look upon the one they pierce, and at last they repent, and they receive him as their Messiah and Savior before he returns. This will be their confession. No page of their Bible will be more tear-stained than Isaiah 53 as they look back and say, "Who has believed our message?" That was us in our unbelief. Jesus was the tender shoot, the root out of parched ground, who we were not attracted to, who we did not esteem, who we despised and forsook. Our griefs and our sorrows he bore. It was our transgressions and our iniquities that nailed him to that cross. All of us, yes, the Jewish people, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but Yahweh caused our iniquity to fall on Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you are so kind, so merciful to us, and being so clear, so specific in this prophecy, and yet we refuse to see it for so many centuries. As one preacher puts it, no matter what's going on in the world scene, no matter how much nuclear power the Middle East generates, no matter how many bombs the Iranians can devise and how many they aim at Israel, they will not destroy the Jews. Read the book of Esther to learn that lesson, by the way. They will not destroy Israel because God has a future salvation for Israel written in detail in the scripture. Their salvation is promised in Jeremiah 1. It's promised in Ezekiel 36, Zechariah 12, Zechariah 13, and right here in Isaiah 53. As the very words of their future confession. And so all Israel will be saved. But praise God, not only the Jews, but as we've seen, it was too small a thing just to restore Jacob, as we saw in Isaiah 49, but also us Gentiles, Jesus, a light to the ends of the earth. Through God saving us Gentiles, he makes the Jews jealous, Romans 11 tells us. So, beloved, we savor Isaiah 53 deeply and love our Savior fervently in a way that makes our Jewish friends jealous and leads them, we pray, to repent and turn to our Lord and share in his great salvation. Shalom. God bless you. Have a good day.